The Defense Department is changing the way it approves smartphones and tablet computers for use on its networks. Instead of going through a lengthy STIG, or Security Technical Implementation Guide, that's a long approval process, the Defense Information Systems Agency wants to put the ball in the vendor's court. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, as we mentioned, is with us this morning, and he has the latest changes on the DOD STIG process. So, Jason, give us the gist of STIG.
The gist of STIG, exactly. So instead of DOD developing and sending these security requirements through this 12 to 18-month approval process, DOD instead is going to set these high-level security requirements across four specific areas and then push it over to the vendors and say, okay, tell us how your product or service or app meets those requirements, that those security requirements that we're setting. And then DOD will look at the vendor's documents and decide whether they do or do not meet the Pentagon security requirements. And if they do, okay, we can use them. And if they don't, the vendor's got to try again.
Because I remember when, it must have been a year ago or so, that the Army proudly announced that it had approved its first smartphone under the STIG. And I think it was a Dell model or something, I forget. And I went and looked up that device at the vendor's website, and it had already been discontinued.
Right. And I think that's part of the reason why they're trying to
A long time to approve something.
They're trying to change the STIG process. That Dell Streak example is a famous example
Streak,
now in government.
That's right, Dell Streak.
I think it was a tablet, not a smartphone. And basically, they went through so many different – it took so much time. All of a sudden, DOD could buy a discontinued item that's not going to be supported by the vendor anymore, that wasn't going to be produced by the vendor. So it's like, you know, buying a Palm Pilot from the 2004 timeframe. Good luck trying to find software or anything to support it. Now, yesterday, we both were at this mobility summit that was put on by the Federal CIO Council, IAC and ACT, had a piece of it. We both had moderator roles. My panel was on security requirements, and Alex Frode, who's the Director of Field Security Operations for DISA's Mobility STIG Guide, he was on my panel, and he says DOD is basing their efforts on the NIST 853 guidance and really other security best practices. Now, this change in STIG will focus really on four areas, and DOD will release this guidance to vendors. The first area is around mobile operating systems. And that's going to list the specific security requirements used by DOD, and it's going to be for iOS, Android, Windows, BlackBerry, or anything else that comes down the line.
And we should also note that there's a huge range of difference among those operating systems, with iOS being, by most accounts, way more secure than Android. And we don't know about Windows yet, because Windows 8 is yet to come, but Windows 7 it's still Windows.
And really, BlackBerry is the most secure.
That's right. Can't forget BlackBerry.
Don't forget BlackBerry. They're still being used by a lot of people in government.
I saw a lot of them there yesterday.
It's still the most secure one. But what this is going to do is not going to be specific to that operating system, but give that really big picture look, say, your operating system must do these things, whatever those things are. The next area is mobile applications, and this is not a product guidance, but again, a security baseline for apps to be used on DOD's network. Now, Frode says this is going to be around focused on vendors who provide application network scanning tools. So the tools that go across the network and look for applications to make sure that those applications meet the security requirements. Some of this will be automated, some of this will be manual, but that's really the focus of that guidance.
Yeah, that's an important one, because some of these applications don't behave very well. For example, they look in your address book.
Right.
Or there was one application that people backed up. It would synchronize your contacts on your computer and your office and your iPhone or your iPad. Only the synchronization and the backup took place in Russia. Oops.
Yeah.
Probably not something you want General Halftrack's contacts being in Russia.
not
Vladimir says, let me see that guy's contacts.
But I think that's the point. I think you're right on mark there. Plus, we just had that story yesterday we talked about from the malware that comes through Trojans for Android devices.
Through text messages.
That's an app issue. The third area is mobile policy, and these are non-technical requirements used for developing products. Basically, it's around training end users, training systems administrators. So I think actually, and then the fourth area is mobile device management, which is basically a defense security baseline for the management of those apps, integration, validation of those apps. So four areas: operating systems, device management, apps themselves, and then policy. Once DOD published these guides, the hope and expectation is that vendors will submit their products and services against those guidances, so those new STIGs, if you will be approved more quickly.
Well, that's good, because the clamor for these devices by users is pretty much something that no CIO or no network administrator can really stop. And as I think it's Roger Baker, the CIO at VA, has said repeatedly, we have to become people that find a way to say yes to this instead of always saying no. And that's true even in DOD. And DOD is recognizing the value of them from a management standpoint. For example, the use in the Air Force of the iPad to replace paper flight kits.
Right.
And if you replace 20 pounds of paper with a 4-pound or three, whatever they weigh, 3-pound iPad, 2-pound iPad, you can actually measure the fuel savings over a fleet over a period of a year. It's measurable. And so that's just one reason, but also it's simpler and it's less
also,
bulk.
And they're also responding to the next generation who's coming in who's everything is digital. Everything they want to they don't want paper anymore. That's at least the rumor of, that we see and we hear. That's so I think that the new guidance when it comes out, which actually is going to be later this summer, maybe early fall, they're going through some, as Alex Frody said, some administrative challenges. So I asked him, of course, what they were, and he goes, "Well, I don't know." So he was very deft at kind of deflecting that answer. He may not have known, but the point is, when they do come out later this summer, that's when they'll go through the public comment stage. It's a draft stage. Then they'll get to the final stage, and that's when vendors can start kind of offering their products and services against those guidelines.
And one of the mobile device management, MDM, prerogatives, I guess, or functionalities, is that the administrator can wipe away a device if it gets stolen or known to be lost. And, of course, the issue has always been, well, that means users have to realize that they're going to lose all their pictures and iTunes. But I was talking to Owen Unanst, who was former CIO of agriculture, 37 years in government. Now he has just joined Unisys. He says, really, not true anymore. There are products that can rope off the government part of your smartphone or pad from your personal. Is just a non-technical way of putting it. It's really creating a virtual machine within there that has the government part. And so, therefore, you could wipe the virtual machine remotely and leave the user's baby pictures on there. So he says a lot of these problems that are perceived are really falling away thanks to a lot of innovation in the community of vendors serving the mobile market.
And I was going to say real quick, I know that we're going to go to commercial. The biggest difference, I think, as well, is the change in the process by which the mobile device managers are set up. Now, for instance, they used to be, okay, we're just going to wall off the whole thing or we're going to control the whole thing, as Mr. Ungas was talking about. But also now that they can say, well, we're not going to put any data on the device. All the data is going to be in the cloud. You just connect to that data through the cloud. So I think that process of cloud, of virtual desktop, as you mentioned, as even more agencies move email and calendar and stuff to the cloud, they can they can have an easier time of securing it. Because I think one of the things about my panel was the idea of data is really the key here, not the device itself.
And that's also something that was echoed by Owen Unanst. He said that, even in the mobile era, you still have data centers and servers and a network infrastructure that you have to pay attention to, even though the endpoints, as they call them, in the network might be different. I think the mobility revolution is such fantastic. I mean, we used to watch Dick Tracy as kids. That would be a fun gadget to have. Well, now we've got them. And we can do things that would have astonished Dick Tracy.
Right. But at the same time, I think one of the key pieces of this mobile revolution is what's the business value of them? I think we all like the toys. What the old saying is the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Well, I think that still counts when it comes to mobile devices. Like the iPad or another tablet, why do you want one? What's the benefit for you as an employee? Now, is it, well, I don't have to carry this big, heavy laptop? Well,
that's kind of your problem.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
But if I can get people working anywhere they want, I get more productivity out of them, and I can reduce my office footprint. Now, there's a business case.
But why is that different than a laptop? Why is that?
Well, the difference in productivity between a laptop and a tablet is a laptop, well, partly it's heavier, so people are less inclined to pull it out all the time.
Again, that's your problem, right?
Well, plus they take a long time to boot up. So, but I mean, I think the mobile devices do foster more productivity.
So you have a tablet, right?
I've got everything.
You have everything. So
lots of them.
Do you find that you're not using your laptop anymore?
I use it a lot less.
You're using your mobile? See, because I can't rationalize buying a tablet because I'm just not sure when I'll use it. I can't have it so my kids can play a bigger screen of Angry Birds or so they can watch Netflix.
No, but if you do, say, cloud-based document creation and editing as I do, then with a tablet, it's so easy to just get to that document anytime and work on it. And it's really, you do tend to do it more because of the lightness of the tablet.